I want you to turn to a very, very popular scripture that is used across America a great deal today. Some misunderstanding about this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. We're going to look at the three verses, and there'll be a little bit of twist in this. And when you leave here, you're going to go, wow, God is up to something. Amen? How many know God's up to something? We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, down to verse 16. And let's stand for the reading of God's word. 2 Chronicles, easy to find. Double books in your Old Testament, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 through verse 16. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, God says, and my ears will attend unto your prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. I want to use for a subject tonight, God's temple in America. You may be seated. God's temple in America. That got your attention, didn't it? I'm so blessed to look at the scriptures and see how God reveals things to us through his word. Basically, verse 14, God gives a promise to the nation of Israel. It is Israel that has the holy temple. It is Solomon's temple, basically David's temple. David wanted to build a house for God, and Solomon finished that vicariously through Solomon. David finished it. And this great temple of God in Israel was dedicated, as we preached last Wednesday, and God speaks to Solomon in the night and tells him what to expect. Verse 12 says that God would hear the prayer of those that are chosen in his place to myself, or a house of sacrifice. Now, I want to make it very clear that the Bible says, if my people, and here he's not talking about you and I, he's talking about Israel. If my people, which are called by my name, he called Abraham out of the land of Chaldeans. He made a great nation out of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The 12 tribes of Jacob, Israel. And Israel is the one that had the incredible temple of the living God, Solomon's temple. And Solomon gets a vision in the night from God, and God tells Solomon, this is going to be ground zero. This is going to be a place where my name will be there, my heart will be there, my ear will be listening. I will move on your behalf. At any time you set your face toward this house, talking about the temple of God, he said, I will answer your prayer. He said, if you get away from me, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, four things. God will do three things. I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. This verse 14 is used a great deal for America and other nations as we begin to talk about the power of God to redeem and to salvage and to bring blessing to nations. This verse 14 has a great spiritual application, not only to Israel, but to the world today. Because I do believe that there are biblical and sound, precious powers in this statement in verse 14, if my people. Well, I'm not one of those that served under King David and Solomon. I wasn't one of those that lived in the day of the temple of Israel. But I'm one of God's people. If you're a Christian, you're one of God's people. The Spirit of God lives in you, you are one of God's people. And though this verse is talking to the little nation of Israel, saying, if you get away from me, if there's drought, if there's pestilence, if there's turmoil, and you get away from me, God promises the nation of Israel, if you will humble yourself, pray, and seek my face, and turn from your wicked ways, God promised them as a nation, he would salvage them, he would heal them, and he would bless them if they would only turn as a group of Israelites to God. That's the promise you find in verse 14. I think it can be applied to a marriage, to a family. If a family is in disarray, there's problems in the marriage, problems in the family. I believe if a family will humble themselves, pray and seek God's face, turn from any sin that may be in their household, God will hear from heaven their family, and he will forgive their sins, and he will heal their home. I believe that is a biblical principle, and I believe that can be applied in many, many ways. But let's don't get the cart before the horse. Verse 14 is to Israel. Israel is the only nation on planet Earth that had Solomon's temple, that had the temple that David wanted in his heart so bad for God to live. The only place where the temple of God was in the little nation of Israel. God promised to be there in that temple, upon that mercy seat, upon that Ark of the Covenant. God promised to be there for that little nation. And by the way, that promise has not stopped. That promise is still to Israel today if they would just as a nation humble themselves. Now I realize Israel has gotten away in many areas as they have through the time in history. But I want you to know Israel, as little as it is and the problems they've had, is not near as unholy and wicked and vile as America. Bottom line, they basically have one religion there. They basically look to the God Jehovah, Yeshua. They have different brands and types of Jewish people that believe different religions, but for the most part, that nation is still looking for a Messiah. They rejected the true Messiah, but as a nation, they've stayed pretty rooted together, salvaged their language, returned to the homeland, 1948, bought a lot of the land that was already theirs, rebought it, settled down in Israel, and returned to their homeland, learning the Hebrew language over again. If those people, and by the way, they will after the end of the Great Tribulation, they will humble themselves. They will pray. They will seek God's face. They will turn from their wicked ways. For the nation of Israel, in one hour, in one event, when Jesus Christ returns, a nation will be saved at the return of Jesus Christ. Not the rapture, but the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean every individual will be saved? No, the nation will be delivered and rescued because they will see the error of their ways and they'll look at their true Messiah. So where do we fit in this? The truth is, other nations of the world didn't have Solomon's temple or David's temple. America has so many false gods, so many distractions. I think at one time, America was, despite what one politician said a few years ago, America was a Christian nation. Despite what one man said, despite what atheists say, this nation started off on the right foot. But today, this nation, the United States of America, is it so wasted and so vile, it has no local affection to God. Oh, there's you and I that are Christians. But the truth is, America wants to live in pleasure, wants to live without the legal definition of marriage. America wants to live without the legal definition of male and female. America wants their utopia, build their place, and they want to reject the church and reject the Bible. Now, I'm talking about America as a whole. There be more be with them than be with us. I know that's a reverse with Elisha, but there be more be with them than be with us. America is perverse. It's ungodly. And so I want you to understand that God's people have basically always been scattered around the world. It was that way with Israel, scattered around the world. Much of the centuries, Israel has been scattered. We have no nation like the Jewish nation because we're not a Jewish nation. We're a Gentile nation. We do not have a Jewish temple. We do not have a Jewish temple today. There's some Jews in our land that have synagogues, but there is no Jewish temple. There is not even one in Israel right now. But God promised that if Israel would rally behind this temple that represents the true Messiah, that he would hear their cry and we bring peace and joy to their life. So what's that got to do with God's temple in America? Remember I said a few moments ago, for the most part, Israel has been scattered around the world. They're beginning to assemble back together more so now. But did you know also the world is scattered? Hear me. The world has scattered Christians all over it. I mean true, born-again children of God. The world has Christians that are in every nation on this planet Earth. There are Christians all over the world. And so in this Gentile nation of America, we do have a temple. You're it. As a Christian, I'm it. God has his temple in the nations of the world. For Jesus lives and breathes and performs in the heart of his children. America does have a temple. It's called the Born Again Children of God. I love that, don't you? In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? For we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so God has a temple. And by the way, I want you to know God has Christians. God has a Christian temple in the United States of America. God has a Christian temple in Canada. God has a Christian temple in Mexico. God has a Christian temple in Russia. God has a Christian temple in China, Ukraine, Turkey, Korea, France, Rome. God has a temple all around the world, living, pulsating, moving in the heart of his children that he's redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. For the true tabernacle of God died on the cross of Calvary. For the true temple of God died on the cross of Calvary and rose again from the grave. And now we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Jesus Christ has redeemed us. And thus in every nation of the world, there is Christians that are temples of God. And we make up one big temple. The redeemed have a temple. The United States has a temple. Oh, you don't see it in building or structures. You don't see it like Solomon's temple. But you do see it in God's people who believe in morals and reality and the blessings of God. Amen. The Bible says that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says not only do our, not only is our body the temple of the Holy Ghost, but God is in us. And that's what we have of God. And it says, are you not, you're not your own, but are bought with a price. And I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm saved because of the goodness of God. We have more than a name. We have Jesus, the Son of Almighty God, who proved to the world and proved to me, and hopefully to you, that he's the true Messiah, the Son of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen generation. Did you know we live in a day that God has chosen us to be a generation? We're a chosen generation. You live in this day because God wants you to live in this day. You're here because God wants you here. You're involved with God because you were born for this hour. You were brought into this day. The Lord could come at any moment. You are here, not by accident. God placed you here. And he called you. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out, called you out, called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I've been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And one day in this dark, hell-pitted world, one day in this cesspool of death and darkness and evil and wickedness, one day in the darkness will shine bright as the stars of heaven. One day God will descend from heaven. Jesus Christ will come as the voice of an archangel, the trump of God, and Jesus will call us up and we will be called out of darkness once again into his marvelous light called the rapture of the church. I love that, don't you? If I sound excited, I am. Man, I tell you what, I'm really excited. See, you don't know what I'm about to say, but I do, and I'm thrilled about it. Woo! Look at the promises that Jesus Christ gave them. He said, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll pray, if you'll seek my face, if you'll turn from your wicked ways, I'll hear, forgive, and heal your land. That's a good biblical promise. But let's understand that God, though Israel had been scattered around the world, God also still has a temple. The temple in Israel's gone. But the temple in you and I is alive and well, purchased by the blood and the power of Jesus Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Whether you live in America, whether you live in Mexico, whether you live in Canada, whether you live in China or some other nation of the world, you are, if you're a born again child of God, if you are chosen, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, you show forth the praise of God, you are a temple of God and you are the temple of God. Look at the promise. Look at the promise. Verse 15. Now my eyes shall be open. My ear attends unto your prayer that is made in this place. What place? Well, over there in Israel, the temple. But everybody point yourself to this place. This place. Because God made you a temple. Amen. God made you a glorious temple. He purchased you by his blood, more precious than fine gold tried in the fire. He redeemed you by the blood of the Lamb. He saved your soul. And he made you an a place of habitation where God lives. No longer does the vile stench of filth live in our bodies. No longer does the wickedness rise up in our bodies. We now have a holy priesthood, a royal nation. We are a priesthood of God. We are children of God, redeemed, set free, sanctified, and brought forth to praise God and to glorify God wherever we go. Woo! Amen. Now God says, my ears will be there when you pray. The Bible says that his eyes will be there. We have a place where God hears and sees us. Let me say that again. We have a place where God hears and sees us. Now we read John 14, verse 1 through 3, and we think of Jesus making us a mansion in heaven, and he is. I think it's already completed. But when Jesus Christ said, let not your heart be troubled, you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a promise. But hear me. He was speaking to his disciples. He said, I'm going to go to the cross, and I'm going to make a place for you. I'm going to make a happy place for you. I'm going to make a place of life for you. It's not just a mansion in heaven. Sure thing, we're going to have that. But how many know we need a mansion down here called God's presence? We need a place down here. We need a happy place. Hey, folks, we need a happy meal from God. Amen. Hallelujah. And in that happy meal is not a little bobblehead that looks like an angel. But the Bible says in this place where God is, God makes us a place. We have a place where God hears and sees us. Where is that place? In you. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are a child of God. Romans chapter 8 says, if the Spirit of God doesn't live in you, you're not a child of God. But we have this witness in us that it bears witness with us. The Holy Ghost bears witness with us that we are the children, the sons of Almighty God. Love can never be torn away from us because God loves us in Jesus Christ, and nothing shall separate us from the love of God. We are a house built on a solid rock. We are a temple built on firm foundation. We are a pure, holy place of God. God has built us up in our heart. Our bodies may fall apart, but the temple, which is the Holy Ghost inside of our body, shall never forsake us. We may change residence, we may change position, but we'll never lose out because we are the temple of God Almighty through the blood of Jesus. We have a place. When I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, God made a place. When I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sin, God made a place. God moved upon me, and he placed a mercy seat in my heart. He put the tables of the law in my heart. He wrote upon my heart the tables of God, the commandments of God. For it is written in my heart, God's law and God's blessing. We are not like tables of stone, but upon fleshly tables of our heart, God has written across our heart, I love you. I'll never forsake you. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you care about me, keep my commandments. Keep your eyes focused. Let me build and fulfill the righteousness of God. Let me fulfill the law in you as a child of God. You become a temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wow. So he gives us a place. When Jesus Christ came in the heart, he sealed this place. And God made certain promises. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. God made certain promises. I'll be watching. I'll be watching. And I'll be listening. God said to Solomon, in this house, I will hear you. I will see you, And I want you to know that we have been built on better promises. God has given us, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and God is saying to us, He made us a place where God dwells. He hears us, and He sees us. You going through a hard time? God sees you. You're heartbroken? God hears your heart. You're struggling through life? God sees you. And He don't just see where you fail or falter or fall. He sees your heart and your desire to love Him. Remember, I preached the other day, if you have the desire in your heart, last Wednesday, David had a desire in his heart, and God said, it's as good as done. You have the desire in your heart, it's as good as done. God doesn't judge us and condemn us for our faltering. He loves us and He looks to us because our heart is set toward Him and we love Him and we honor Him. That's why God always said, if you sin, you're going to have to do it in the heart. If you do it in the heart, then you've sinned. But God, see, there's way too much emphasis on beating people up behind the pulpit. Way too much emphasis on condemning people and putting people down. Shoot, you don't need me to do that. You do a good job on your own. Hello? Trust me, some of you need to lay off yourself. Cut that out. Quit being so hard on yourself. We know you're not worth anything. I know I'm not worth anything. So bug out. Leave it alone. Quit letting it bug you. Let Jesus debug you. You say, well, you're just preaching a very cheap and very shallow salvation. No, I'm not. I'm preaching a powerful, almighty, incredible God. Amen? Remember Sunday morning I talked about forgiveness? You get forgiveness, but until you get reconciliation, you don't walk with God. And a lot of people have had this cheap salvation. Well, I asked God to forgive me, so I'm going to heaven. Trust me. You can ask God to forgive you, and He may even forgive you. But you're not going to heaven until you're reconciled with God. To the shed blood, to the work of Jesus Christ. We have condensed our salvation to a sugar-coated salvation. And I'm here to tell you it's not a sugar-coated salvation. You can eat the whole package of cookies, a whole package of sugar cookies, and still die and go to hell. I'm here to tell you we need to get into the meat and potatoes of God's Word and look to see who Jesus Christ is and let Jesus Christ swell up in our heart. For only then can we walk with God. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Of course they cannot. But I agree with God. I agree that Jesus Christ is the eternal, pre-existing Son of Almighty God. I agree with God that He died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. He rose again from the grave. I agree and I shout, Amen. So not only did He give us a place where God sees us and God hears us. Amen? You say, well, is God in shouting distance of me? God's in whispering distance of you. In fact, you don't even have to mumble. He'll hear you. God hears the silent prayer of every saint. Number two, look at verse 16. This is 2 Chronicles 7, verse 16. But you are a chosen generation. Let's look at verse 16. I already said you're a chosen generation. Verse 16. And now I have a chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Back up to verse 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now mine eyes shall be open unto, and my ears will be open, attend to your prayer that is made in this place. What place? Our bodies, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God has said, I have given you a name. Hello? Aren't you glad we got a name? I'm not talking about your name and my name. I'm talking about the name of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the name of Yeshua. He said, my name will be there forever. When Jesus Christ embeds in our heart, His name is there forever. But I want to point out, as we look at the screen, it says, we have more than a name. What do I mean by we have more than a name? Well, you may know a name of Jesus. He may be a guy that lives in Mexico. Hello? You may know a Jesus. He may be claiming to be the Messiah. So God gave us a name, a special name. God gave us more than a name. He gave us a Redeemer. He gave us a contact with Holy God. He gave us a name. And behind that name is the deity of Christ. Behind that name is the majestic holiness of God. Behind that name, we're not talking about just the name. We're talking about Jesus, the Jesus. Everybody say the Jesus. We're talking about the Yeshua. Everybody say the Yeshua. We're talking about the God. We're talking about the Jesus walked on water. The God, the Jesus cleansed the leper. The God, the Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. The God, the Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, shed His blood for our sins, died on the cross of Calvary. The God, the Jesus, Yeshua, who went to the tomb, rose again from the grave. God has given us a name we can trust. Why? Because by that name, backed up in that name, is the holiness and the purity and the trust that God gives us. For He so loved the world that He gave His Son Jesus. So it's not just a name, it's the name. More than a name. That bothers me sometimes when I hear people say, well, I know Jesus. Me and the guys got it all worked out. Me and the old man's got it all worked out. You know the thing. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. I hate that song. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Shoot. You say, why do you hate that? I used to drink beer to it. I know what you're talking about. That's why I hate it. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. Well, if you got your own thing going, you're not saved. It ain't me and Jesus got my own thing going. It's me and Jesus. He's got it going on in my life. He's the one that's going on. Amen? Notice verse 16. We read it a moment ago. We have an eye on us, and God's heart is on us. God really, really wants to bless you. God really wants you home. God really, really wants to bless your life. And so He come to you, redeemed you, sanctified you, made you a place, made you a temple, wherever you live in a United States or Canada or Russia or China or wherever you live, North Korea, South Korea, wherever you're at. If Jesus Christ has touched down in your heart, the seal of the Holy Spirit's come to you. God has sanctified and made you a place, and you are a holy nation of God. Amen? Let me blow your mind right here. Each person in this room is an ambassador. If you're born again, if you're a child of God, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You're an ambassador of God's kingdom. So wherever you are, heaven is there. If another nation attacks an ambassador, it's an attack on the whole nation. An ambassador walks, represents his nation. So wherever he is, that's where his nation is. Wherever he is, that's where the kingdom of God is. Wherever you are, the kingdom of God goes with you. Amen? How's this? God has a nation all over the world. And wherever you walk, the nation of God is right here in me. Wait a minute. It's over here. Because wherever I go, I'm an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And wherever I go, God has promised to watch me, to bless me, to help me, to enrich me, to take care of me. Hello? And when the devil sets insults toward you, and when others try to offend you, whoa, look out. It's war on the devil. Not you warring on the devil. It's God warring on the devil. So much that God said, if you offend one of my children, these little ones, I'll put a millstone around your neck, 300 or 400 pounds, and throw you, wrapped around your neck, throw that millstone and you out in the depth sea, and down you go, bubble, bubble, bubble. You're done. See, we need to understand that God has not put any of us on this planet alone without help. But you quit fighting the air and you quit batting the air. You quit trying to take too much on you. You let the Lord bless you. If this sermon does anything, but if it just does one thing tonight, this sermon, I want it to instill in your heart that wherever you go, God goes with you. Wherever you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Wherever you walk, whatever storm you're in, whatever trial you're going through, God hears, God sees, God gave you His name, His authority, His power. He's blessed you, He's touched you, He's redeemed you. And God has brought to pass a royal priesthood. We are a priest of God. We are a royal priesthood. Amen? Look at me. Look at me. Look up here. I'm a holy nation. I didn't say I'm a tarnation. I'm a holy nation. Well, one person can't be a holy nation. I understand that, but you understand me. The children of God, the holy nation of God, encompasses the whole world. And each one of us as ambassadors have promises from God. He always hears us. He always sees us. He always comes to us. He'll forgive us. He'll help us. He'll take us through because He has one. God has not. He has many goals in for you and I. God has many things He wants to do in our life. But the ultimate goal for Jesus Christ is to get you from here or there. And while we're here, we need to try to get others there. Because we had the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. We share Christ wherever we go. Amen. You're not as pretty as Solomon's temple. And you don't have gold and silver as Solomon had in his temple. But you are more valuable than Solomon's temple. And in our currency, it would be billions and billions of dollars today to build Solomon's temple. But you are bought with a price. And you need to understand, we have not been redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You are valuable. And whatever comes against you, all of heaven's power is against what's against you. Isn't that good? You're valuable. I'll close with this statement. Jesus, when He walked the earth, He didn't go too far, just within a 100-mile radius or so. That's the only places Jesus went. Just think what He could have done with the internet. Well, what you doing? Use it for the Lord. But anyway, Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, did the great redemption for you and I in Israel. And the temple was rent from top to bottom. When Jesus died, Jesus rose again from the grave. Jesus borrowed a donkey to ride into the city, an ass's colt, on Palm Sunday. Jesus borrowed a coin out of the fish's mouth by Peter fishing to pay taxes. Jesus borrowed two fish and five loaves of bread. Jesus borrowed six vats of water to turn them into wine. Jesus never bought a chariot. Jesus never bought a piece of land. Jesus never bought a horse. He never bought gold and silver. He never bought a house. He lived in a borrowed house. Everywhere he went. In fact, he even died on a borrowed cross, mine and yours. And he was put in a borrowed tomb. And he never bought a thing. Hold it. Yes, he did. The one thing he bought was you. His goal was not houses and land. His goal was not a kingdom that Lucifer offered him. He could have took that at any moment. His goal was not silver and gold. His goal was not houses and land. His goal was not animals and chariots and all. And he was famous, but his goal wasn't fame. Popularity, he got both of them. But that wasn't his goal. His goal was you. All he could think about when he saw that leper is, I want him. All Jesus could think about when he saw that blind man, I want him. All Jesus could think about when he saw that cripple that couldn't get into the pool of Bethesda, all he could think about is, I want him. And when you're in your darkness and your lowest moment, all Jesus can think about is, I want you. I want you. That's our God. That's our Savior. He wants us. Isn't that beautiful? Well, he's got me. Amen. He's got me. He bought me. He changed me. He gave me eternal life. I'm his. All he could think about. And by the way, all God can think about right now, I believe, Jesus can think about right now, is, I want Israel. I want her. I want people to come to my son. That's all God can think about. I want people to be reconciled. And that's all he wants out of you and I today, is he wants you and me. Stand with me. Isn't that beautiful? You might be thinking, well, God don't want me. Yes, he does. You might be thinking, well, I have no talent. I have no money. I have no prestige. I have no fame. I have no glory. What does God want me for? Because he loves you. God wants you because he's God. There's nothing in us. There's nothing in us that's lovable. There's nothing in us that can contribute to God's power. There's nothing. God loves us not because of you and I. He loves us because of himself. God can't help himself but to love you and I. He loves you. And because he first loved me, I love him. I love him because he first loved me. Now you're the temple, and God promised to hear your prayer. God promised to see your tears. God promised to give you that name, and we have that name, incredible name, that name of power and that name of glory. And his temple is around the world. And one day his temple will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And we'll all assemble together in that great temple. And we'll be with Jesus forever and ever. Altar's open if you'd like to come. Maybe you're hurting, maybe you're struggling. God hears your prayer. God sees you. God knows you. And God wants to take care of you because you are His. And if you're not His, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you've never been saved, oh, what a deal. What a wonderful opportunity you have to come down here and say, my God, please give me a place. Give me a home. Give me a position. Give me a place in your family. Please, God, give me a place, a name, a blessing, a future. It comes through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Altar's open.